We, the citizens of the city of Billings, for the purpose of establishing a just form of fundamental law, one that is responsible to the public for providing equal and adequate services and protections with efficient use of the community's revenue for all, one that provides for self-governing powers with respect to health, safety, and welfare of every citizen, and one that utilizes the utmost flexibility to plan for the future, do establish this charter for the City of Billings of the State of Montana. The Friday Packet with Stocky and Stout.
Kiss the horse once.
Just once?
Yeah. That I can recall.
That's where the podcast is
that's going to start.
Going to start.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going.
Yep. God. Don't even have to ask him the joke question.
Yeah,
right there. That's the winner.
That's fantastic. Do you listen to podcasts, Josiah?
I have in the past. Yeah. I have, yes.
Nothing fancy, nothing memorable?
No. I mean, it was just like different celebrities or rap artists that I just downloaded and listened to it. Oh, but yeah. I was never... that was mostly like when I had like the warehouse job or something.
Oh, yeah.
When I was by myself a lot.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. I forgot you're a hip hop head.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Old school hip hop, 90s.
Yeah.
Okay. Early 2000s.
We got Josiah Hugs. He is the resource outreach coordinator for the Downtown Billings Alliance.
Yeah, yeah.
And, where'd you grow up, Hugs?
I grew up in Pryor, Montana. It's about 30 miles south of Billings, as the crow flies, but I think it's like 45 on you head out on the road.
Yeah, not a big town.
No, definitely more cows than people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I grew up, I didn't even grow up in the town. I grew up out in the country on my dad and uncle's ranch. So grew up... a lot of chores, a lot of structure and everything. but yeah, just country boy, pretty much.
Right on.
Growing up.
Well, I hear a country boy can survive, so that's good.
Definitely.
It's good to know. Went to school out there and in town in Billings?
Yeah, I grew up, my parents, evangelical, Pentecostal Christians. So I had to go to the Catholic school where I could have religion class every day and hear the good word.
Just the one religion, mostly.
Yeah. so went there K through 8, graduated from there, went one semester in Pryor at Plentiku High School. While I was there, I was like, big fish, small pond. I was like, this is it. These are the people I grew up with. Like, I thought high school was supposed to be cooler than this. And I asked them, I said, can I go somewhere else? Like, come transfer to Billings. And they said, well, your only other option is Billings Central Catholic School.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, all right, I'll do it. So I left. It was kind of crazy, too, because, like, freshman year, I was varsity basketball starting 5, and I just left that semester.
Really?
Yeah. And I got a lot of flack for that over the remainder of my high school years from kids I grew up with and stuff.
Bah.
Thinking I was, they kept asking me, especially when they're drunk, you think you're better than us.
Well, did you?
No.
Well, that's good. See, there you go. Cleared it up.
And I was like, no, I just wanted to try something different.
It's on record now.
Yeah.
Anybody who's listening.
You heard it here first.
Gotcha. And then you, did you go to college?
Yeah, several failed attempts at college.
Yeah.
You know, with all that being sheltered.
Mm.
First time out the house, 18 years old. I went to Rocky for basketball on a scholarship, partial scholarship.
Oh.
But after a month, after the first month, I got redshirted, and then I just, like, party time.
Yeah.
Bring on the women and the fogies, you know.
That's right.
And that's how my fall semester went. I still managed to get, still managed a 3.0, but then spring semester came, and I was just too much time, too young and dumb.
Yeah.
Full of cum.
Yeah. That's how it goes.
Were you living on campus?
Yeah, I was living on Rocky campus in the dorms. So I flunked out, got kicked off the team, worked for about a year, went to MSU Billings. Did good there for about a semester and then flunked out of there again from all the partying and stuff. So finally figured out partying and trying to go to school didn't work out for me. So I quit the partying, quit the booze, and just dedicated all my efforts into getting a degree. And finally, 2008, I got that psych degree.
Nice.
Yeah. And then commenced on partying again. Yeah. Well, I started drinking again anyway.
Gotcha. So then you just had a couple other jobs. Get hired by any of the big psych corporations?
No. I definitely put in for them. No, but so with psych degree, I asked my counselor or supervisor, I forgot what they're called, the person that kind of guides you through your college career.
Advisor.
Advisor.
There we go.
There we go.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Over 10 years now, I can't believe. But so she said, yeah, you can go get any HR job anywhere. You're like a shoo-in. You have a psych degree.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I put in for every and any HR job here in town and nothing. And finally, I got in on some kind of college kind of internship type of deal with the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And it went off your grades and your transcripts and all that stuff. So I was able to get a job there. I got placed in a pool. So instead of the supervisors instead of them having to put out advertisements and time to do interviews, applications and all that, once you got put in that pool, supervisors at the Bureau of Indian Affairs could just pluck you out, have you start working.
Oh, right on.
So I did that. And I was in cubicle land for about 9 years. And was trying to leave for 5 of those years. well, 6 probably.
Right.
Once I figured out, you know, promotion and all that wasn't really based on your production.
Gotcha.
It's more like who you knew and seniority and all that.
Yeah.
So after that, you ended up at Community Innovations. Would that be the timeline?
Yeah.
After you left that?
How'd that happen?
Well, so I've been trying to leave the BIA for like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to go inside the government. So I was applying at Bureau of Land Management, Indian Health Services, Bureau of Reclamation, anything that had to do with the government. So then like I could keep my grade and all that stuff. So finally, last spring 2017, I was like, well, looks like I can't get out of this office. And I just printed off my resume and like just mailed it to people, emailed it to people. I emailed to Lisa and I was like, Lisa Harmon. And I said, well, if you're hiring for any position, I'll come over. And then she emailed me back, said, well, let's meet next week. So we had coffee the next week, and she was like, are you interested in Joe Simpson's old position?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my jaw was on the ground. I was like, hell yeah.
Right on.
Because, like, when that position started with Joe and everything, I was just now getting into recovery from addiction and all that. And I was like, I want to do that. And I told Reverend Mulberry that. I said, I want Joe's job eventually. And, you know, the universe heard me.
Nice. Perfect.
And responded.
Gotcha.
So, Joel's job. Because it went Joel Simpson, it went,
who's the other guy? Dave Cobalt.
Yeah, Cobalt, and yeah. Then it was you.
Yeah.
Joel and Dave are both damn good at what they did, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Joel got pulled away to go, where is he now?
He works for the Indian House Services Hospital and Crow Agency. He's like, I think he's like the director for their social workers and stuff. And
oh, right.
He sees patients, too.
Cool.
But, yeah, he's a big shot over there.
Yeah, definitely. And he still deals with recovery type stuff quite a bit. And
definitely.
Cobalt, what the heck's he doing these days?
He's up at Rimrock. He's one of their inpatient counselors. Because last year when I started my education hours for my to go towards my LAC application and all that, I sat in with Cobalt. Like all summer, like 2 months.
Right on.
Just sitting in with him and with his groups and stuff.
He's a hell of a good guy, too.
Yeah, he's like me. He's in recovery, so I think, like, people that are in recovery are to make, like, the best counselors.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, they got dirt on them. They know what's up. They can, you know, they can spot somebody's defenses when somebody's bullshitting right away.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's important.
Nice.
Are you? Have you gotten your LAC, your licensed addictions counselor?
I'm in a process of getting my ACLC. That's the prerequisite. So once I get that certificate, then I have to do like 1,000 hours of actual counseling, the work, CD evals, CD evaluations, an actual like counseling group work, task work, and all that good stuff. And then once I complete that 1,000 hours, then I'll have to take a test. And then once I pass that test, then I'll have my LAC.
Right on.
So it's getting close. I'm actually supposed to hear back this week if my application is complete. And it's just been a very grueling process through this year. I turned in my initial application. After it got reviewed by someone at Rimrock, and then I looked it over, make sure I crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's and sent it in December. And since then, it's been like, you need to turn this in. I'll turn that in. Okay, well, I need to turn this in. We need this information. We need this. And it's been 8 months, and like, it was getting depressing.
Yeah.
And I finally, through networking with the Native American Development Corporation, they got me in contact with someone on the Montana Behavioral Health Board, and they're, you know, gave me some hope.
That's good.
And they're like, well, we'll do what we can to help you get that push through.
Yeah, word. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. So you're probably about a year out to get all those hours and everything.
Well, I think it comes out to about 6 months from once I start to get the 1,000 hours.
Sure.
It works out to that about 6 months. So
that's awesome.
Hopefully by March.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I get the ACLC, I'll be able to start holding group for the MAP program, Motivated Addiction Alternative Program.
Yeah, right on. That's cool. And MAP is a part of Community Innovations, or I don't know, somehow involved in Community Innovations. It's more of a law enforcement program, really. But
yeah, it's like the baby that Community Innovations conceived.
Yeah, there you go. That's hot.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I like it.
It's like nice. A demigod.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So on a day-to-day basis, what's your day like working downtown? You a 9-to-5-er, or how does your day break out?
I usually arrive to the office at the Downtown Billings Alliance office around between 7 and 8, most days closer to 8. But I'll usually try to hit the streets right away, either with the police officers or if they're busy or if they're already out, I'll just jump on my bike and I'll ride around downtown. You know, just trying to be a presence out there on the streets. Most of the our targeted population, the transients, homeless people, they're aware of who I am. They don't always get my name right, but they know my face, and that's what I want.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them thinking that they can come downtown and just kind of party around, you know. Mm-hmm. I want them to think, when they think about going downtown, I want them to think of me and be like, he's going to cram recovery down my throat if I go down there. Mm-hmm. And most times now, if they see me coming, they'll turn around, go the other way, or they'll duck through an alley or something, mm-hmm. for the most part.
Okay.
But some of them are very talkative, and I'll just strike up a conversation, and then I'll start cramming recovery down their throat.
Gotcha.
Asking them the tough questions, you know, like, what are you doing out here? What got you out here? Don't you want a better life? Do you see yourself making moves to get to a better life? And, you know, aren't you tired of this? Aren't you tired of the madness? Aren't you tired of this bullshit?
Yeah.
You know, it's not cool for you to be out here, you know. Just really trying to bring them back to reality. Because I recognize that I'm in recovery, operating in that delusion of it's okay. I'm not hurting anybody. If everybody else would just chill out, mm-hmm. It'll be okay. And that's where they're at. They don't see the trail of destruction that they're leaving behind them. And they think it's okay to be out there on the streets to beg for money so they can buy booze. And, you and I know that's not the case. That's not how an individual should live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. The MAP program is basically after a person gets a certain number of open container tickets, they get offered jail or recovery, basically, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the gist of it. But as soon as they get their first open container citation, treatment is on the table.
Right on.
So when I'm out with the officers and we come up on a group that's, you know, passing the bottle or passing the can or whatever, the individuals that are getting the ticket, I'll step in and I'll give my spiel. Like, all right, you got the opportunity to start the treatment process today and complete treatment and have your citation go away, or you can take the ticket today. And then if they, nine times out of 10, they'll take the ticket. And at that point, I'll tell them, I said, treatment's always on the table. Like, if you decide when you go before the judge that you want treatment, you can ask for me and then you can start reporting to me. And so that's how that goes for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I know the answer to this one. This mm-hmm. one's, I'm leading the witness.
Do it.
when was the most recent person that chose treatment?
I was actually today.
Yeah.
I was out, you know, I run talking circles at Billings First Church Monday through Friday at noon, and that's where I was today. And I got done with the meeting. Officer Frank called me, said he was out with an individual who wanted treatment. And so I said, well, I'm at the church. How far are you guys? And he's like, we're a block away. I said, send him over. And usually, you know, that's almost a once a day phone call mm-hmm. that I get from the officers. So-and-so wants treatment. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, well, send them over. But for the most part, they don't show.
Yeah.
So I sat by the front door, and I was talking with other people that were coming to the talking circle, and we're just visiting, and I was half-heartedly expecting him not to show up, and he showed up.
That's
cool. So I was like, all right, cool. So I took him into the library at the church, started visiting with him, and he said he wanted to quit drinking. He was tired of, you know, tired of the madness, tired of the insanity of it, doing the same thing, expecting a different outcome. So I said, and we got to rapping, and, you know, he said he gets seizures when when he's coming off alcohol. I said, well, it sounds like you need detox. You want to go detox? And he said, yeah. So I called Rimrock and a couple phone calls back and forth, and he was able to get in, and Officer Frank came back and picked him up and went and dropped him off at detox.
That's great.
So, and what I've been offering individuals, another option, is the sober living. Been working closely with Ignatius House here in Billings.
Okay.
And that sounded like something he wanted to do. So he's going to do 72 hours at detox, and that's like the minimum that you can do there. He'll get back on his feet, back to feeling like regular human being. And then in the meantime, I'll start pulling strings for him to get into sober living as soon as he's released.
Wow.
So as soon as he's done, I'm going to be there to pick him up hopefully with the sober living people, and they can give him an interview. Hopefully that they have a bed open.
Okay. Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
How long would he stay in sober? What's the chain of events after detox? Obviously, you pick him up, get him or her into sober living. Then what's kind of the protocol? Does he check in with you on a daily basis? Are they put on a program of some sort?
Yeah. The individuals that I have gotten into sober living, well, when they go into sober living, they need a sponsor. Mm-hmm. And that's just anybody with any kind of long-term, at least, 6 months of recovery. So they'll put me down as their sponsor. They have a marker board. They have to put their home group, what step they're working, and then their sponsor. And typically my rule is they have to call or text me every morning as soon as they get up and let me know how they're doing, how they're feeling. And then I tell them to call me whenever, especially if they're getting cravings, if they're getting triggered, they feel like they're going to use or they're going to, go out and purchase either drugs or alcohol to use. I say, call me before you even do that. And that's kind of my rules. And then they have to come to the talking circle, at least 2-3 times a week. Now at the sober living, they have to go to 7 self-help meetings. And they have their required groups that they have to go to, like West Enders Recovery Group. And what's this coffee shop downtown? The Tavern.
Oh, yeah. Coffee Tavern. Yeah.
Coffee Tavern. They have a Narcotics Anonymous group there that meets. I don't know what time, but that's one of the required meetings that they have to go to.
That's cool.
And so they go to those, and they have to have a sign-up sheet. And sober living, there's phases. Phase 1 is 2 weeks. They have to get a job, go to 7 meetings a week. If they don't have a job, they have to go to 14 meetings a week.
Wow.
And fill out 2 applications a day.
Dang.
And they can only have their cell phones for 1 hour a day.
Oh, my cow.
And they can't leave the house unless they're with a senior member of the house.
Cool. Gotcha.
And that's all just to show good faith on their part that they really want this recovery and show the sober living faculty that they're about it. And then phase 2, they get a little bit more freedom. Phase 3 is the last phase, and they're pretty much free to come and go as they want, as they please.
Gotcha. At some point, they probably pay rent at the sober house. Is that what would come out of their paycheck eventually?
Yeah. Yeah, and I've been working closely with St. Vincent de Paul, Mark over at St. Vincent de Paul, to get their first month rent paid. And they have their own process through their counselors, through Healthcare for the Homeless, Riverstone, that the people that they help get their rent paid, they have to report to their counselors once a week and sit down with them, do a CD eval, and do one-on-ones. And I really utilize those ladies a lot. Mackenzie and Linda Woods over there.
Mm-hmm.
I send my guys over there. Even after their first month, I keep telling them to set appointments.
Yeah, just keep on them.
Yeah, and that's just another tool that I'm able to utilize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Jinx.
I guess I owe you a Coke. Your talking circles at First Church?
Yeah.
Got how many of those you do a week?
There's 9 of them going on a week, and there's one every day. And so Sunday nights at 7, Monday through Friday from noon to 1, Tuesday nights at 7, Thursday night 7:30, and Saturday nights at 7. And it's me and 3 other individuals that run all of those.
They pretty well attended?
Yeah. It's all sporadic. Mm-hmm. Like right now, summer seasons, you know, it is my 3rd year of doing this, going into my 3rd year of doing this. And once it gets nice out, attendance drops.
Sure.
And that's just across the board with AA, NA, whatever self-help group. People want to be outside.
Yeah.
They don't want to be inside talking mm-hmm. about stuff.
Makes sense.
But the Wellbriety is what we use, the Red Road to Wellbriety book. And that is a Wellbriety movement that's based out of the White Bison organization. They're based out of Colorado Springs. Don Coyes is the CEO of that, the director. He's the one who came up with the Wellbriety movement through his own recovery and through his own research and everything. And it's just a Native American take on the 12 steps. And through his research, what he found out was that what the 12 steps of recovery call you to do, live a life of community, a life of accountability, transparency, and a life of service, was how our ancestors and Native Americans lived pre-European influence.
Mm-hmm.
So his book is a callback to the teachings, the original teachings, to live that life.
What's the book called? The
Red Road to Wellbriety.
Right on. And I know that through experience that you end up buying that book yourself.
Yeah.
For a lot of your,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what you'd call them. Clients, friends. Yeah.
Subordinates.
Fellow human being.
Yeah.
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 No, my clients. I call them my clients, and they know I call them my clients.
Gotcha.
That's all right.
That's gotta cost you some money, though. I mean, they're $26 a pop.
Wow.
And so I don't just hand them out. I don't get them for everybody. It's mm-hmm. someone that has to show some kind of good faith.
Yeah.
That keeps showing up, that shows me that they really want it. And then I'll be like, hey, you want a book? And I'm like, all right, cool. And Barjons has them in stock, Barjons bookstore. And I just have an account there, and I can just walk in and grab one and pay them later.
That's awesome. Anybody ever just show up and pay your tab from time to time?
Over at Barjons?
Yeah.
Yeah, someone's supposed to be going over there to pay it. No, the Spare Change for Real Change pays for the books and that's pays awesome. My salary.
Yeah, word. That's a good deal. In Spare Change for Real Change is that kind of, I guess it's a full-on 501c3 now. Out of
wow.
The DBA.
Like a TIF?
Yeah, it's exciting. I think TIFs are C6, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, C6s.
I don't know. We read that out
we
loud.
Sure did.
Horribly.
It was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
We covered this.
Yeah, come on.
I'll show myself out.
But that all started, like, with just some real basic fundraising that DBA did starting about 10 years ago, just trying to collect change.
Yeah.
And it was, instead of giving 50 cents to somebody asking for it on the street, because they're just going to probably use it for, what is it, $8 out of $10 gets used to pay for an addiction.
Yeah.
Statistically, on average.
Statistically, yeah.
Donate it to this, and we'll give it to organizations that'll help people.
Awesome.
Definitely.
And then,
I think that's something that needs to be revisited and educate the Billings community on, is that if they, you know, they see someone on the street, they're dirty, they're down and out, that there is, you know, Spare Change for Real Change, that where they can give their money, where they know their money will be put towards services to help mm-hmm. these individuals.
Yeah.
Because 9 times out of 10, you give someone $5 on the corner, they're going to turn around and buy some booze with it, or mm-hmm. some drugs, or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a bummer deal, and, you know, people have a heart.
Yeah.
And they don't realize it.
And I think that's what I mean. I think that's why we need to educate the Billings community on the people that do have hearts. There is an organization where they can, their money will be put to use.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. And 501c3 means it is a tax or Anyway, it's a public charity, and so people can just donate to it, write it off on the taxes and everything, and it's a pretty good deal. We do that 5K every year.
Yeah.
It raises some money and doesn't come anywhere close to paying Josiah's sumptuous salary.
Sumptuous?
Yeah, he's living in the lap of luxury. It's amazing. It's like he's got, there's an episode of MTV Cribs.
Yeah. I did notice that limo was extra long that pulled up in front of the house.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just circling the block right now.
I have to come to your house if MTV Cribs comes.
Just come here.
Yeah, this is where it all happens, guys.
It's exciting.
It is.
Play that Snoop Dogg song. Other than just the stubbornness of the human spirit, what are you working against? What are the difficulties presented to you in the MAP program? No room in the jail, etc.
Yeah, I mean that was my first thought, is that there's no room in the jail, and we're getting a lot of he said, she said stuff. Mm. You know, it's like, you know, the sheriff just stopped by the community innovation and said we're supposed to have 5 beds, and we just went there this past spring, and they said we could get you 1 bed, for sure. Anything would help. I mean, 1 bed would be phenomenal at this mm-hmm. point. Where we could pick up, because there's individuals out here on the street with thousands of dollars in MAPs, and they're $135 a pop, and they got thousands of dollars in MAP warrants. If we could get one of those individuals in a bed at the county detention center, and then I could come in and be like, hey, this could all go away if you go to treatment, you know, and then also... I'm trying to get an audience with Judge Collard and see if we can't get these individuals into, you know, the $1,000 warrant people into an inpatient treatment.
Yeah.
60-day, 6-month program. Because as I see it, being in this position 1 year, 30-day treatment, or, you know, a 12-week IOP program as MAP set up for, is not going to be enough to deter them from going back. We're going to have to be able to empower these individuals. Some of them lack basic life skills, coping skills that a lot of us take for granted. Mm-hmm. I dealt with one of my clients that had gotten into sober living. He called me up one day. And he said, I have 2 appointments tomorrow. What should I do? And he threw me off. I was like, I said, well, get up tomorrow, take a shower, and go to your appointments, and then go back to the house. He said, oh, okay, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And to you and I mean, we have appointments all the time. We go to our appointments, no questions asked.
Yeah.
He had never had an appointment in his life.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
He's 29 years old.
Wow.
So having an appointment just like threw him all off, and he's like, he didn't know what to do.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I can't identify. I'm, and, you know, I guess there for the grace of God and all that stuff, but man, that's just a hell of a way to live, man. Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine having that.
Yeah.
That kind of childhood that leads you up to that at 29. You know, I suppose relapse is just a part of recovery. It's just, I mean, you're going to have a lot of false starts, especially just statistically. I'm sure there's plenty of people who've done a great job their first try. But what are your, what's your favorite success story, obviously without naming any names?
I'll backtrack on that real quick. I say seeing relapse is part of recovery. Because I've been in recovery almost 3 years now, and I've seen a lot of relapse. Individuals who you thought had it, understood it, working a good program, they call me up one night and like, oh, I fucked up. I'm drunk, blah, 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 crying and stuff. And I'm like, dude, I just seen you like 2 hours ago at a meeting, you know? So I say seeing relapse is part of recovery. I have an individual that I met on the street, you know, just from trying to be out there, be a presence. I met him late April. He was living at the men's shelter, had already had like 30 days of recovery. I told him about sober living, and he was all for it. So got him into sober living. He's been reporting to me every day. I mean, he calls or texts me every morning, and he's really working a solid recovery program. And now, you know, just being shy of 4 months in sober living, he's already moved his way up to assistant manager.
Whoa.
There's individuals that have been at sober living longer than he has been there. But just because the program that he's working, living that life of community, transparency, accountability, and a life of service, just showing that on the forefront through his life, through his daily actions, the owners of Ignatius House have recognized that and just promoted him.
Wow.
Just really clicked with him.
Yeah, and he's just like all about it. And he's like surprised me, you know. He's really kept other individuals that I've gotten to sober living in check.
That's great.
Yeah.
So he had just a hell of a lot of potential he was keeping stifled.
Yeah, and like he kind of reminds me of me when I started out. Like, because when I started out in recovery this time around, I was done. I mean, I was done. There was nothing and nobody that was going to take my recovery away from me. And he has that same attitude, and he carries himself in the same manner. Because back when I didn't even have 6 months of recovery when I started the talking circles. It was just something that I knew I needed and that I knew other natives would need. And I started it. And looking back on it now, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I didn't even have 6 months of recovery. Now I'm starting these meetings.
Well, it makes it feel like you're not alone, and you can talk through problems and not feel judged, or, you know, you're able to verbalize what you're feeling, which is, I think, a pretty critical thing, especially if you're an addict of any sort.
I bet it takes a tough son of a gun to do 30 days of recovery in just, the mission.
Yeah, just white knuckling it.
Oh, man.
That's why I was like, I need to get this guy to sober living.
That's tough, man.
Yeah. And he's motivated, you know, he's doing good. Super proud of him.
I love stories like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I don't know, I can't remember what it was when we started Community Innovations, but God, it was all started out by, you know, people who are just tired of having the same shit going downtown all the time. And I mean, there were a few people who were in recovery at the time who poked their head in and said, hey, this is what we need. We need recovery. We don't need to make the jail four times bigger and just warehouse these addicted people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every time they get in trouble, stuff them in there for another half a year. And it's, you know, the Community Innovations model, shit, we had Las Vegas called us asking about it, and other cities.
Yeah.
It's like, you're doing a hell of a good job. Yeah. And it's a cool thing, and God, as far as I'm concerned, Josiah's taking it right where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
So going forward, do you see yourself maybe staying at Community Innovations longer? Or do you want to see like a permanent role there for you, or you want to hire on another person in your position and you sort of are, you know, delegating kind of? Or what's your, career trajectory that you see yourself going on?
Yeah, I think eventually what I would like to see is like, you know, Wellbriety Treatment Center, a treatment center, treatment facility that just teaches the Wellbriety gospel.
Right on.
And it being like a long-term facility, you know, 30 days treatment, then the next 30 days life skills, then the next 30 days getting a job. establishing housing and all that, and like a 6 month to a year long program.
All under kind of like one roof almost, yeah, so they don't have to.
Like the transformation campus that MAP was based off of. I think that's where it has to go in order to funnel these individuals into something that is really life changing. Because there's a misconception that treatment is the cure for addiction. It's not. Treatment is an introduction to recovery. And they'll tell you that when you're in treatment that this isn't a cure. This is only an introduction. When you get out of here, you need to get a sponsor. You need to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. And, you know, there's a lot of cliches in the rooms. But one I truly believe in is meeting makers make it. As long as you're going to meetings, you're going to make it.
That's cool.
I like it.
Who's helping out the most with community innovations? Like, what organizations does the city of Billings not know that they owe a hell of a lot of thanks to?
I think all of the outfits that I've really collaborated with, you know, the Healthcare for the Homeless, Riverstone, St. Vincent de Paul, you know, I can walk in there and visit with the counselors from Healthcare for the Homeless, or walk into Vicky Macy's office, and it's open arms, and they want to help. They're doing what they can on their end to help support my position, and I think those people definitely deserve a round of applause. And I think other than that, Crisis Center, Marcy over at Crisis Center, I can go in there and talk about certain individuals because she deals with the exact same population.
Yeah.
And she calls me in there when she's dealing with people that want help. She'll call me over and I'll go over there and I'll just have a conversation with them. I'll just sit down and shoot the breeze, tell them my story, and then start cramming recovery down their throat.
Slinging that hope.
Slinging that hope. Hope dealer. Watch out.
I love that so much. I just get a huge kick out of that. Just out on the streets.
Dealing hope.
Dealing hope.
Dealing that hope. Yeah, watch out. Not get addicted to that hope.
Gotcha. So most of your scope is just in the downtown area. Have you gone out even further or further south across the tracks at all? Since you've been down there, I guess the question would be, since you've been down there, to have the people who are really stubborn and are really entrenched, have they just sort of kind of moved to the fringes? And
Yeah, a little bit of both. Yeah. I've dealt with a couple individuals that were very confrontational.
Yeah.
And everything. But I grew up on the res. I grew up fighting. And those tactics that they were trying to use against me was like, come on, man. I used to do that same thing. So, like, they don't scare me.
Gotcha.
And once they realized they couldn't intimidate me, they backed off and just walked away. Because I started calling them out. And I was like, come on, let's go then. You know? Let's go. Let's do this. You going to bump your guns or you know, throw down, and they walked away.
Gotcha.
I don't know their patterns. Some days I'll go out here, and Joe can attest to this too. There's nobody, absolutely nothing. It's like you can see the tumbleweed rolling across the street.
Weird.
Other days there's like groups of 10, 15 on every corner. They come in waves, they disappear in waves. It's kind of one or the other extreme.
Mm-hmm. And it probably has to do with somebody's found some money.
Yeah.
Or
they're just kind of migrating through, or go to West End, go to the Heights, and come back downtown, moving around, whatever.
But it's kind of the same population throughout Billings, isn't it? I mean,
well,
It's the people you see on the West End every now and then you're going to see downtown a couple days later.
Yeah. And I think there's kind of, there's ones that stay downtown, there's ones that stay in the Heights, and there's ones that just stay on the West End.
Really?
Yeah, and then there's ones that just kind of migrate through. Because, like, the whole incident out there on the West End where one of the transients, you know, got his head cut off. I didn't know who that was. The police officers didn't know who that was. And the same thing with the individual that stabbed the lady in Elberson's here downtown. I didn't know who that was. I never heard the name. I didn't recognize the face. And both our officers didn't know who that was.
I'll be damned. Huh, that's interesting. I just figured it was just traveling around. Everybody was just moved around.
Yeah, and like the ones that you see often here downtown, they don't cause trouble. They'll panhandle enough to get their booze or their drugs and stuff and go do that.
Yeah.
It's like the ones, like during the summer, we'll see an increase of them that are coming from the surrounding areas, small towns or, you know, like the reservation. And they come in and they're the ones raising hell.
Yeah. Just come to town when it's warm.
Yeah, come to town when it's warm and just party it up and raising hell.
Head home for the winter.
Yep.
So I think it's a common misconception that the groups of folks you see cruising around downtown having a drink, they're not necessarily homeless people, are they?
No. I'd say a large percentage of them are not homeless. They choose to be out here for the sole purpose of drinking and using drugs. And there's a smaller percentage that are circumstantial, that are homeless, like the guys I ran into and was able to get into sober living. They're battling their addiction, but they were truly homeless. They had nowhere to go. And so it just happened upon them, got to rapping with them, and then pointed them towards sober living, and they accepted it.
That's, I like that.
So that's the small percentage that I can really reach. The other, you know, 75 to 80% of them that are choosing to be out here, choosing to drug and choosing to drink, I have to, like, just, I'll rap with them, talk with them, tell my story, relate to them on that level, and then tell them what I do, and then I've planted that seed. So then the next time I come around, I'll say, hey, you want to try that recovery? You know, start slanging that hope.
Watering that seed. I like it. That's a nice deal. How can, if somebody accidentally listens to this podcast,
yep,
and they find that they want to help out some way, what do you think? What would you tell them?
I would definitely have them call the DBA, try to get in touch with Mel, you know, the director of the Spare Change for Real Change, or they can call me and then I can direct them from there. You want me to shout out my number?
Yeah, do it.
Okay. Contact information, 406-696-7121. jhugs@downtownbillingsalliance.com.
Yeah.
Or is it?
I think it's just downtownbillings.com.
Yeah, yeah. jhugs@downtownbillings.com.
That's Hugs with two G's.
No, one G.
Damn it. See, I wanted it to be two.
I know that. I always get that. When somebody else spells my name, it's two G's. And my first name, Josiah, I get called Joshua, Jeremiah, Joseph.
Jeremiah? It's not even an E in it.
I know. I'm like, Joseph or Joshiah.
Joshiah?
Yeah.
That works. You're just double G.
I know.
You're just more than just one G.
Just call me what Joe Stout calls me, Mo Thugs.
Mo Thugs. That's right. Awesome. Thuggin'.
So I just wanted to say one thing.
Okay, good, yeah.
So a lot of people, you know, I've been seeing it a lot on social media, people talking, coming asking me, they're asking if, like, addiction, is it a choice? And I say no, because it's not the substance we're addicted to. we're addicted to escaping reality. We do not want to be in reality. We're born that way from conception. Since, you know, we came out the womb, we don't want to be in reality. And looking back at my life, I remember doing things like always having a friend over so I didn't have to deal with the reality of being home, being bored, or having to do chores. Mm-hmm. If I had a friend over, I wasn't bored. I didn't have to do chores. You know, things like that. So we want to escape reality. And people use drugs. People use alcohol. People use sex. People use gambling. People use food. People use shopping to escape reality. We all have our different vices, but we all got the same problem.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Me too.
It makes a lot of sense.
You'll make me cry, Hugs.
I'll give you a hug.
That sounds good.
I want to feel that beard on me.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm very jealous of your beard. I wish I could grow on. That's why I just got this little goat thing going on.
It suits you.
I don't remember what his face looks like. It's been so long.
Yeah, that's best. That's kind of the idea.
Okay. Is there like a weird scar under there?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
You had secrets.
In here. Yeah.
Another mouth.
Yeah.
For them snacks.
Secrets and crumbs. So it's in there. Magic.
Nice. Well, thanks for being with us, Jose. I appreciate it.
Oh, no. I appreciate you guys asking me to come down. It's pretty cool. Awesome.
Invaluable information for sure. Well, you gave it all the information, so I don't need to say it. Got anything else, though?
I don't know if people want to correct anything we've said. You can email us at thefridaypacket@gmail.com.
Yep. I think we're up to 2 whole emails now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right on. Hey, gotta start somewhere.
Gotta start somewhere.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
We'll do it again sometime.
I look forward to listening to this.